Hey, so we've been in a discipleship series that we've been going. This is the fifth week, and so what we've been doing is kind of using there's a pastor author that kind of packaged this the marks of disciple in kind of a nice, you know, kind of pithy way. We like we like when to kind of, you know, do these in a pithy way. So it's the marks of the disciple. So M-A-R-C-S, and so is how you spell it. So just kind of way to review, if you haven't joined us, we'll kind of give you a little snapshot here. But the first, the M is missional. Disciples of Christ are missional. That means it is not a one-time event. It is not a program that you go in or out to. Really, it's a lifestyle. You live your life in a missional way. Like, you're on a mission. You are, that's who you are. As a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. So let's kind of look at the discipleship as a lifestyle rather than a one-time thing. The A stands for accountability. That is the idea that a disciple of Christ is accountable. So you allow others to speak into your life, that you allow others to kind of either, you know, confront you, to encourage you, and then you, with permission, can do that too. We're not supposed to be us doing this alone. The R is reproducible. And so the idea there is that we are to be disciples who make disciples. We're not just supposed to become a disciple and then stand there, but rather to reproduce disciples. And so then that means we have an active role in that, as that job, as Jesus calls us to reproduce. And then communal, which Pastor Brandon talked about last week, we talked about the discipleship is a shared journey. We do this as a community, as a body of Christ, that we are supposed to be together, to worship together, to encourage each other, to have this kind of community feel. You know, we're not supposed to, you know, lone wolf it and to go out and kind of be on our own, but rather the bride of Christ is what Jesus calls it, is us gathering as Christians. And so if you're a true disciple, you have a church family. You have a church that you are committed to, is committed to you, and that you're committed to them as well. And so the S that we're going to cover today is scriptural. So a disciple of Christ is scriptural. And that's the idea that a disciple of Christ, that we, you and I, as Christians, are in fact interacting with what we call the scriptures, with the word of God, with the Bible. And all this is based on, kind of, you can kind of tell from that transition video, is from Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And we call that, sometimes the church would call it the Great Commission is what it's called. The very last thing that Jesus, on earth, physically heard, the last thing he said to his disciples, he gathered them all up. And right before he left, you know, he gave them this charge. And so if you know anything about movies, you know that last dying words are always important, right? They always manage to get the most important thing out at the end, right? Well, this isn't quite that, but it's the concept rings true. Is Jesus, before he leaves, says, this is the thing I really want you guys to get. This is the thing. And he, at this point, could say anything, could go any direction, but he chose to go the direction that Jesus said, this is the most important thing I want you all to get. And he says this in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. I'll read it. It says, therefore is there, because he just got on saying, hey, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So Jesus, you know, through that, he says, okay, therefore, because I have all the authority in heaven and earth, says, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. We're going to focus on that part at the beginning of verse 20 there, which is, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. There's an assumption in there that Jesus gives his disciples. There's an assumption that they are aware of the commands that he's given. There's an assumption also that they're going to be, you know, acting on those commands as well. You know, Jesus just doesn't say, hey, go and make converts, go and have, you know, great programs, go and, you know, just love people. He's very specific and very intentional with his language. He says, no, you are to go and make disciples, and part of that is teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And we know what Jesus commanded them because we have the scriptures. We have the Bible. As disciples of Jesus, we are supposed to be consumers of the Bible. We're supposed to be interacting with it. We're supposed to be not just aware of it, but we're supposed to be engaging with it. And so this is, you know, today I'm not trying to lay down any sort of guilt trip. I'm not trying to lay down any sort of works-based anything. But what I am trying to do is encourage us to see just what the Word of God is, what it does, how it helps us, how it helps us understand God, how it helps us avoid pitfalls in life, how it helps us live with purpose and meaning by focusing on what we should. It really is important and a critical part of a disciple's life. Because you and I are very impressionable people. We're very impressionable people. We there's what we surround ourselves with, what we look at, what we listen to, what we choose to be around, it ends up affecting us in one way, shape, or form. One of the things I love kind of reading about and kind of I think is just fascinating is the idea of marketing. Like marketing, advertisements, especially, I just find it, I don't know why, it's intriguing, is the idea of like grocery store advertising or grocery store marketing. It's crazy. They are so intentional about absolutely everything in the store. I remember reading I think it was back in maybe like the 90s, they said the most played song in all of supermarkets was When a Man Loves a Woman by Michael Bolton, his version. When a Man Loves a Woman. Because the hope was that they would, you know, some if there's the ladies or there's something, stir up some, you know, affection for their husband, and they would impulse buy something that they liked. So, you know, that's the thing. But here's what's crazy. So oftentimes, they'll in grocery stores, this is true, they'll play music that is in major keys only, that moderate tempo, not too fast, not too slow, and by kind of somehow having these positive, positive vibes, positive feelings, positive music, that it would somehow encourage impulse buy, a positive connection with the brands that they're looking at. So they have like controlled music. They're not just flipping on the radio. You're not just hearing, you know, whatever, you know, local DJ. No, you're hearing strategic music to make me buy like more ice cream or something, you know? And then the way that the store's laid out, right? They don't put everything that I like in one corner. No, they put it on opposite corners. So I have to pass by the things I don't like until I look at them that I have to buy, right? It's kind of crazy how much thought goes into this. So I think, well, maybe I'll just go on like the app. I don't know if you guys, I started using the Safeway app. But, you know, they sent me a notification letting me know that, hey, there's ice cream on sale for $2.99 for a pint, and there's a limit of four only per customer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to buy four of them because I can only buy four of them. You know? It's like, so it's like they got me no matter what. It's terrible. It was like, well, I have to, but who'd buy three when you can, you know, only buy a max of four? You're like, I got to max it out because you never know, right? Prepping, I guess, is what that ends up being. But then the impulse buy counter, you know, you got like all the little stuff. It's so intentional the way that I'm being manipulated when I walk through to kind of get me to do or purchase or consider certain things. I don't even realize that I'm hearing it, I'm seeing it, I'm just interacting with the whole thing all to kind of like steer us to in that case spend more money. It's very subtle, right? It's very subtle. It's very sneaky, but I imagine it's pretty effective. See, the things, this is kind of a no-brainer, the things that we focus on and look at and consume eventually are the things that end up coming out that I say or that I do or how I behave. It's just that concept that we've all heard of, that what we put in comes out, garbage in, garbage out. I think a youth pastor always used to say that growing up. He always said, what I'm filling my head with is the thing that I'm going to think about. What I lay my eyes on is the thing that I'm going to think about. And the thing I think about is what I'm going to talk about and what I'm going to talk about or what I'm going to, how I'm going to behave. This isn't like a wild concept that's blowing your mind right now. It's rather just kind of just reminding us how influenced we really are. And even the most disciplined, the most like, you know, strongest mind, strongest will, not me, but maybe it's you, you still, at some point, whatever you're going to put it will come out in one way, shape, or form. I came across a quote, just said a quote from a farmer. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like it. It says that the farmer once said, "What comes up out of the bucket is usually what's down in the well." And I find that to be a really apt thing. Whatever you're gonna pull up from the well is probably what's down there. So how I act, what I say, is probably somehow related to what I'm taking in. And I imagine that you are just like me. So I ask us, okay, what is it? What is the greatest single influence on your behavior, words, like actions, thoughts? Like I was confronted with that while I'm kind of preparing. It's like, okay, what is it? What am I spending my time consuming that is producing this? And it's a good question to ask. Now it if you think about it, as a follower of Christ, the biggest influence are shaky mics. As a follower of Christ, what we have, what God has given us, is a sort of a textbook, although that's limiting in its description, is a guideline, a textbook, an ability to understand, interact with, be spoken to from God through this thing we call the Bible, the Word of God, Scripture, God's Word. We have that ability. And he gives this to us. And what's interesting is to kind of see how the Scripture describes the Scripture, how God describes the Bible. I love in Psalm 119, if you've never read it, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, all about the Scriptures, all about God's Word. It's unique. It's interesting. I love it. You should look into it. There's a couple like little gems in there, and one of them that describes the Bible just makes so much sense when I read it. Psalm 119, 105. You might have heard this before, but it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path." That paints a vivid picture, doesn't it? That paints a picture of like at night, you don't know where you're going. You don't know, it's blackness, so you could step into something that could hurt you. You could step into something that would, could harm you. And anyone following you would be the same. But it's saying that God's word is like, if I just put on that flashlight and look at where I'm going, all of a sudden I could see. All of a sudden I know what to avoid. I know where to go. I know I shouldn't do this or I should go there. I know what's in front of me because this thing is shining in front of me, letting me know what is. Letting me know what exists in front of me. And then, I could move ahead in a safe manner. So the lens, then, how this is described is the Bible is looked at as that light that is shining on our life that shows us what the next steps are, what our next words mean, what all the next actions that we take. We filter through this thing, and it gives us that ability to see the right and the wrong through it. Because if not, if we don't have that lens, we don't know where our actions are going to take us or how we're going to be interacting with it. You know, the Bible teaches us in a couple different ways. The way I describe it is it teaches kind of we learn in a natural way, like there's just basic wisdom in here. There's basic wisdom, there's good advice, there's kind of sound advice that lasts, has lasted the test of time. A lot of it's kind of creeped up into our vernacular, things that we just kind of say, the writing is on the wall, or just things like that, we kind of see this. But I think there's a verse, whoever walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Well, that's just basic, that's great wisdom, that's just solid wisdom. If you're hanging around foolish people all the time, you're going to do foolish things. Or if you're hanging around wise people, chances are some of that wisdom is going to rub off on you. So we run into some stuff in the Bible where I think God speaks in a very great, timeless, logical sort of way. And so I think there's a lot of that that's in here. Also, I think that God speaks to us in a supernatural way. I think that the Bible speaks to us in a way that no other book does. I pick up a novel. I pick up anything else. It does not speak to me. It does not hit as hard as the Bible does. The Bible has a relevance about it that doesn't quite make sense. Where I've read this verse so many times, but it feels like when I read it again, like it's the first time, and it's relevant, and it's with what I'm dealing with, and it cuts deep. It's so relevant, and it's shocking how often that happens when you get into the Word. The Hebrews says the word of God is alive and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This reading this is pierced like a double-edged sword. It can cut right to it. Like if you've looked through this, I mean, if you've walked with Jesus for a while, you know, reading this in your teens, it hits one way. It's different in your 20s, then your 30s, then your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. You're still reading this book. Some of you have been reading this thing for 7 decades, maybe 8 decades. And if we were to sit down and have a conversation, I bet you could tell me that there's some verses that are still relevant today to where you are today in a situation that you're in today, just like it was 70, maybe 80 years ago. I don't think I'm wrong about that. There's something powerful about God's word. There's something different about this book than there is about any other novel, any other thing we choose to engage with. It's different. God has spoken through this, and he will speak through this. So my first point I want to give you, I wish that I came up with this line. There's sometimes I was reading, studying for this, and I came across this, and I wish it was mine, and I want to take credit for it, because once you hear it, once I heard it, I couldn't like unhear it. It was just a great way to say things, but I didn't. It was a pastor who came up with this, and he said this. This is kind of his motto for his life, is I'm going to get into the word until the word gets into me. So I want to encourage us that we need to get into the word until the word gets into you. And that's what that's the idea, that we're gonna keep spending time in this. We're gonna keep looking at it until we know it, we understand it. It helps us move forward in our lives. There's something about us that we need to be getting into it. I'm gonna read you a verse that kind of helps explain this kind of concept a little bit. And I'm looking at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we're reading 15 to 17. I'll read the whole thing, and then we'll kind of look at it individually a little bit. But it says this, Colossians 3:15. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, our Father, through him." So verse 15, right about this verse says, you know, let the peace of Christ rule in your life. There's no need to like try to force it. There's no need to try and you know, hit the go button on the press. It's no. You're gonna let the peace of Christ. And that comes from, in the verse before, it talks about like loving those around you. And so that's definitely deeply connected to that. But what really jumps out about this is that let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule in the Greek is associated with what we'd call like an umpire or like a referee. So it's looking at like this at this peace of Christ being something that is what is guiding us. It's what's keeping us in bounds. It's what letting us know, you know, when we cross the line, when we don't cross the line. Let us know kind of what the rules are to this thing. And it very much is a guide that should let us know kind of and govern what we do. And so there's a natural result of us doing this is that we have this guide that kind of helps us on our way. And the next verse 16 goes even one step further, says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another." That let the message of Christ, well, the message of Christ is what? How do we know what the message of Christ is? The message of Christ is in here. The message of Christ, the gospel is the good news of Jesus. We read about it in scripture. So in other words, we need to get into this. And when we do so, we got to let it dwell in us. That word "dwell" is to live, is to set up home, is to really settle down, and let God's word live at home in our hearts. Let it be something that just lives in us, that just sits in us, that guides us, that gives us that wisdom that we need. We need to let God's word do that. So when we take it in and we keep going over and over, it just sits there, and we just let it happen. It just does its thing. And then finally, verse 17, then the result are the actions of doing this. You know, and so whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God our Father through him. So everything that we say and that we do should be motivated and fueled by Jesus, by his message. And by letting Christ dwell in our hearts, we experience peace, we experience thankfulness, we experience, and gratitude, which are all great things. I want more of those things. Like those are things that I want to embody. And all that comes from us letting Christ work in our life. The next point I want us to get there is that we need to allow ourselves to be transformed by God's word by spending time in it. That idea of allowing, or as we just said in the prior verses, let. Like God's word will, it just works. And what I mean by that is when we take it in, when we get into it, when we live by and guided by it, we don't have to really put out all this kind of weird side of the scripture. We read it and as best we can try to embrace in our lives and do what it says. And by doing that, we allow God to work in us and through us. 2 Timothy is another kind of well-known passage that we come across, which is about the Bible, which is this, is all scriptures God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what's important is verse 17 kind of gives us a little bit of focus, a little context for this. It says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have a so what, we have a hey, here's why, we have a this is why we're doing this. We get into God's word, and God's word is God breathed, and it's used for teaching, correcting, training in righteousness, so that you and I could be equipped. If we're a follower of Christ, if we're a disciple of Christ, there's an equipping that needs to happen. There's a training that needs to happen, and God's word is that thing that helps get us thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equips you every good work. So if you and I are going to be disciples, we need to be embracing his word. We cannot experience the growth that we need to. We can't be disciples who make disciples and not get into God's word. We can't ignore it. We can't say no to it. We need this to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think of it this way. One of the things I'm into, I'm kind of a nerd on many levels, but this particular level that popped up, I was like, I'm a big fan of the EDC community, right? If you know what that means, then you know, right? The everyday carry community. So it's this thing where you look at what do you have on you at any point for any purpose? I love looking at the EDC toolkits, especially. I geek out on those things forever. I'm always watching like YouTube videos on these things. And what this is, it's typically guys. I don't know why it's typically guys. You know, if there's a girl that wants to put together an EDC toolkit, I'm all for it. I don't care. But it seems to be only guys that are nerdy enough to do that stuff, because the girls have better things to do. But these guys are like, put together these kits, these toolkits that you are supposed to carry. And the goal is like to have everything that you're going to possibly need for the day, you know, and in the kind of smallest form, most effective, lightest, most compact, but carryable, but still useful, and you're just like balanced. So you just get into this like minutia where I'm watching 20-minute videos on like a little set of like channel lock pliers that are just, you know, they're the 4-inch length, and they're this heavy. And so I'm watching a video and guys like, okay, for less than a half a pound, I want to put together the perfect EDC toolkit. And this is the pliers that he did. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Okay, I'm in for the 20 minutes there. And I'm like, okay, I'll look at that. And then it's like then the flashlight. It comes to the flashlight, which I don't know if you've gone down the flashlight rabbit hole, but man, there's some amazing flashlights out there that will blow your mind. I never thought the world would be so, you know, robust in there, but like there's like the right kind of flashlight you have. Do you want the batteries, guys, just in case you run out, or do you want to have like a rechargeable one so you can recharge anywhere? Do you want the magnet on it? You want to be able to clip on a hat? You want to have like, you know, it's crazy. So you take all this time and you like develop the perfect kit that's like designed for like what you're going to do, where you go for your life, for your, what, you know, where you work, you're into things like that. And so you develop this kit that you're going to take around with you all the time. I have one in my bag right back there. I carry it with me all the time. It's great. I can show it to you sometime if you want to see it. It's just great. I just spent all the time like really like analyzing. And what I love about it, what I kind of like about it is the first step in really kind of creating your kit is to think, okay, so what do you need? What do you need for the day? What are you doing? Where do you go? Are you in a certain line of business where you need a certain kind of tool? And so you're really like, it honestly is like you self-reflect on what could happen or what's going to happen that day. That's kind of where the basis of this all starts. Then you kind of go from there. And what's interesting about this, and why I kind of am thinking about this, is like, you know, the same way that I'm kind of developing these guys that develop these kind of just toolkits on there. Like you're trying to figure out how you can, not get derailed by a situation that pops up because you don't have the right thing or you're not equipped with the right tool in order to solve the problem. And I immediately, as I was coming across this, really thought of this because one, I'm always thinking about the EC toolkits, but in our spiritual lives too, I'm thinking, okay, I need to be equipped for whatever is going to happen this day. Okay, if I'm going to face a certain temptation, I want to be equipped on how to do it. If I'm going to run across somebody who's doesn't know Jesus, I need to be equipped on how to like encourage them. I need to be equipped on how to be the best dad or the best husband for my family. I need to be like all these things that I need to take with me every day. I need to carry with me every day, and it's not going to come from any other source than God's word. I need to be into this thing so I know every day what I'm going to face, what's going to happen, and how what God says about it, how he has equipped me or others to handle that. And I'm not going to get that by just having a Bible around. I'm not going to have that just by knowing that the Bible is a thing. I'm not going to get that, honestly, from like having read the Bible 10 years ago or 20 years ago and just kind of relying on that. I know for my life, and I think for many others too, it's because we have to be, this has to be something that we're engaging with on a regular basis. It's living and active. It's a thing that isn't I read that novel. I read that series. It's great. And it just sits on your shelf to let everybody know you read it. You know, and no. This is something that should be consumed on the regular, that I should be interacting with on the regular. And I think if you and I want to grow, and if you and I want to be equipped for every day, whatever we're facing, and although we could be facing very different things, I think there's a lot of categories that are all universal that we need help with. We need to be getting into this. We need to be spending time in this. And at least we don't have to be Greek scholars, but I think God has called us to be consumers of his word. Psalm 119 has a couple other verses I want to read for you too that are hugely helpful. Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young person stay on a path of purity, living according to your word?" So right there, the psalmist is like, "Hey, a young person," and I would dare venture, I hope I'm not straying too far from the mean, but I think any person, right, particularly young people, but any of us can stay on a path of purity by living in accordance to God's word. That assumes also that we know what God's word says about the various issues as they relate even to purity. Psalm 119:11 says that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We're to not only know it, but also like to take it in, to take in our heart, to know it, to have it, even to have it memorized, so that for a specific reason, so that we know when the situation comes up, I might not sin because I know what the Bible says about it. I can avoid a sinful situation if I know what God's plan for that for me is and what God's thoughts and warnings are about this are. So applicable, for us. And then kind of finally my favorite psalm we run across is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. It just says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat in company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on he meditates day and night." We're blessed. We are blessed if we meditate if we our delight is in the law of the Lord, that what's interesting about that delight is in the law of the Lord, it's not even saying if you have the law of the Lord necessarily memorized, but our delight. So we understand this for what it is. And I know that this is hugely valuable, and it's so valuable that I need to be interacting with it. We are blessed if we do that. And not only if we do that, but if we meditate day and night, if we think about it, if we interact with it, then we are able to live a blessed life, to avoid all the other pitfalls that exist out there for us. Now listen, this is a simple message. So I don't want to come to say this is too simple. It's a simple message to understand, but that doesn't mean it's easy. It's simple to know that, hey, this the God's word is important. I should be interacting with it. Great. Okay. Well, but do we? Sometimes, you know, like, so I'm saying it's simplistic, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to hear it in a simple way. So there's five ways that we interact with this. And this is going to be kind of some no-brainer stuff, but I hope that the Lord is going to speak to you about just the ways that you can engage with God's word. I think there's five ways that we can engage in God's word. Okay, the first one is we can hear it. Listen to it. Easy. Listen to God's word. Then we can also read it. We can study it. We can memorize it. And then we can meditate on it. So those are kind of the five general ways that you and I can engage with it, right? I mean, there may be, you know, one more that's in there, subtlety, but I think they're all kind of in there. So here's what I want to, this, like, we have no excuse. I have no excuse why I shouldn't be getting into words. God's word. To hear God's word is so easy. I have probably a dozen apps on my phone right now that I could listen to God's word. Any version of the Bible I want, any voice that I want. If I want a British lady to read the Bible, I can find a British lady on there to read the Bible. Like there's we can do that. And what's great about listening to the Bible is that it gives us a chance. If you don't have, if you feel like, you know, your schedule's tight, or you don't, so you can hop in the car. You can listen to it while you're in the car. You can put it on while you're doing dishes. Put it on while you're mowing the lawn. Put it on while you're doing other things. You can listen to it. You can put it on. We can listen to it. It's a great way to kind of ease into it. And so, you know, there's Spotify has stuff. You can listen to it through the other YouTube videos that share it. And I want to be clear here. When I say you know, hearing God's word or getting into God's word, sermons are great. You know, lectures are great, but there's still, I think it's really important for us to go right to the source and be interacting with ourselves. We can do all the other things also. But it's really important for us, you know, not to go through the lens of someone else always, you know, preaching, but rather it's important for us to get into this as well. But hearing it, here's the problem with hearing it, and I love listening to stuff. I'm always listening to podcasts, or I'm always listening to books and things like that. I love it, but our retention on it is not high. It's probably the lowest of all of these is our retention with hearing something. So you hear something, yeah, it's great. You kind of get the gist of it. When you go to recall sometimes, it's just not the it's not as strong there. So it is a good option. It's a great option. I'll encourage you, if you haven't tried it, maybe it's a good time to kind of engage in the Bible in that way. It's a good opportunity. But reading it is kind of, you know, I don't know, you call it the old standby or whatever, but the daily devotions where you and I get into it, maybe it's, if you haven't ever read, you have gotten to that routine. I always say one verse is better than no verse. So start somewhere. You don't need to just, like, you know, start crossing off whole books of the Bible in here. But if you haven't, I encourage you, take some time and read. Take some to sit down, if whether it's physical book, whether you have, you know, like I said, there's a Bible app, there's Bible software. I want to encourage you, just get into that habit. Maybe your goal is, hey, three times this week, I'm going to get into it. That's great. Because three times is better than, you know, no times. So set a goal that's attainable for you. But I think we have to be getting into it on some level. And maybe it's just a chapter, maybe it's just a verse. I don't know. But I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe even one step further. With some of the guys that I meet with on a weekly basis, we'll read a chapter a day, just five times. So just five chapters a week, and then we'll rewrite. There's like a couple sentences, about three sentences by it. We do a little journaling. And we're just three, you know, observation, verse that stood out, and maybe like an application. Real simple. And what's great is to be able to do that and then get together and just talk about it. And, you know, I mean, we're not writing, you know, no one's going to, like, make a movie based on what we wrote, or, you know, no one's going to, you know, give a TED talk based on our writings. But there, it helps us, I know for me personally, revisit it. To take it from you know, words on the page into my mind, back onto, like, a written page to think, and it helps the memory that way. If you've never tried journaling, it's not like a Dear Diary type journal. You can certainly do that. I'm more of a one sentence, like three sentences, like, what verse stood out? What does it mean? How does it apply? Like, it's very simple. And so we do that once a week, and it's great to even hear the other guys share their same verses chapters that we're doing, and sometimes we'll get the same thing out of it. Other times it's totally different, but it's great and so important to do that. And one thing also is kind of a bonus. You heard Pastor Kirsten share about the parenting class that she's doing. A major aspect of that class that she's doing is going to be that idea of getting into the Word together with your kids and actually journaling, kind of together, doing a form of that together as, like, parents, where we can disciple our kids as well. Super cool concept. So that's a free plug. I actually get $10 for every plug of her classes. So I should pay $10. No, just kidding. But that's a great way to do it, and a great concept to think of, that we could even do that interacting. So if you got kids, high school, middle, or high school, younger, it's a great chance to kind of look at it that way. So also, and then the other way is to study it. So, you know, hear it, read it, study it. This is where this one for me really kind of has helped my walk with God. The kind of two different periods in my life when I went to school, Bible school, for the first time. I'd never studied the Bible. I'd read it. And grew up in church and thought I knew so much about the Bible, and thought I just, you know, had all the answers because I just heard a lot of what I'd call Sunday school stories a lot. But as soon as I looked at it academically, started looking at commentaries, started looking at, you know, concordances, started looking at different things like that. I'm like, oh, this is, I don't know anything. I don't know a lot. But it was encouraging for me to really dig in deeper to that. And if you're to the point where, hey, I'm kind of, you haven't got to that point, I want to encourage you, look at the idea of a concordance or something a little deeper. There's great Bible software out there. I mean, another time was when I really got to use a Bible software program that kind of helps you do a bunch of word searches and commentary searches all at once. You could just, the information out there is amazing, and this book can be so kind of, like, basic, stop doing this and start doing that, but it can also be deep and rich as well. So I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't studied it, maybe dip into that. Then memorizing it. Take some time to commit to memory. Just maybe a verse, half a verse at a time. I mean, how much useless information do we have in our heads? I have so much useless information in my head. I can tell you about, like, languages in fantasy novels. I'm a huge Tolkien fan, so I could go down that rabbit hole for a long time too. And it's useless information, right? I was also convicted too. I know way too much useless stuff, and I need to just commit to memory more and just keep filling my mind and memorizing. So I have my little index card that I wrote this Colossians verse on that I really wanted to commit to memory. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that too, make a real effort to just, could be half a verse, could be a verse. It's amazing how many situations pop up whenever I've committed to memorize a verse, how many situations pop up that verse helps. It's crazy. And then the last one is to meditate on it. And that simply means for you and I to just think about, read about, focus on over and over and over, looking at a verse, a concept of God, and we're just focusing on that, and we're thinking about it, and we're praying about it, and we're just rolling it through in our heads over and over and over, just that verse. And that's kind of like the ultimate, like, hey, we're just really focusing on that. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, this is not an aha moment type sermon. This is not a, like, your mind's blown with this, you know, this knowledge that you're receiving, but rather, I think there's such a challenge for me, and maybe for you too, in the simplicity of God speaks through his word. God can change our lives through his word. I need to get into his word. It's very simple, yet it can be very difficult. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken the step to get into his word, do it this week. Just You could ease into it just a little bit. If you're kind of consistent in this and maybe you feel like things might be a little stale, maybe it's time to engage in it different than you have. Maybe try what, you know, more memorization, or maybe look at a different version of the Bible, because sometimes if you've read one version, you know exactly where this phrase is on that side and you have it highlighted, and so you go back to the highlight. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you get familiar, so maybe try something different there. But we have, if you're a disciple of Jesus, we need to be in his word. We need to know what he said, and we need to live it out. And I'm not trying to throw down guilt. I'm trying to encourage, because we love God so much. He gave his son for us and died for us. I want to live my life worshiping him because of that. That's my response to him. And a part of my worship is to get into this Bible. So for so many reasons, but that's kind of the initial one. The worship team is going to come out here and we're kind of finish up. But as he does, I want to come back to kind of the point of today, which is that we need to get into the word until the word gets into us. We need to get into it until we're thinking about it. It's the thing that's influencing us the most. It's the thing that we think about. The thing that we're judging the next steps by is what God's word says about this. So if you don't mind standing, we close in prayer and we sing this last song. To me, if you need prayer, there's something that you just need prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. We have a couple spots on either side under the kind of the blue lights on either end here that we'd love to just pray with you by. I want to encourage you to get into God's word this week. I want to encourage you to, and if you're doing it, good job, keep going. But if we're going to be disciples and disciples who make disciples, we have to do like Matthew 28:19-20 says, that we're to go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. That means that we need to know what Jesus commanded. And we need to be embracing it ourselves. So will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the fact that we have the Bible, God, that you've given us your word, that you've given us the opportunity to know you, to hear from you, God, at our fingertips. I pray that you would give us the wherewithal to recognize, God, our need for it. Give us the courage to carve out part of our day to engage it. And Lord, as your word does, I just pray that it would continue to work through us, that it would penetrate our hearts, that it would draw us closer to you, that we could become more and more holy, Lord, that we could make disciples who make disciples. And the fuel for that, Lord, is the message, your good news that comes from, that we read about in the Bible. So Lord, we love you, and we're just thankful that we can interact with your word that is living and active. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.